This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
Calls are growing louder to use Russian funds to rebuild war-torn Ukraine. Live from London, this is the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. I'm Victoria Craig. Good morning. Since the start of the war in Ukraine, the European Commission has blocked more than $300 billion of Russian central bank reserves and frozen about $20 billion belonging to Russian oligarchs. Now, European Commission President Ursula von der Leyen has proposed investing those assets and using the proceeds to compensate for wartime damages.
We could create, with our partners, a structure to manage these funds and invest them. We would then use the proceeds for Ukraine. And once the sanctions are lifted, these funds should be used so that Russia pays full compensation for the damages caused to Ukraine.
That's Ms. von der Leyen speaking there this morning. The question is, how will that plan work? Tom Keating is a researcher at the Royal United Services Institute.
I think it's a mistake to conflate the Russian central bank assets that have been frozen, which are clearly the property of the Russian state, and it's the Russian state that has been destroying Ukraine, and therefore I think we all would agree that should pay for the damage that they've done. I think it's important not to conflate those assets with the ones that have been frozen that belong to oligarchs and businessmen and politicians. What we should be doing is trying to prove that those assets are the proceeds of corruption and then using existing legislation to confiscate those assets.
So is there a precedent for doing something like this? Has there been an instance when, you know, a group of nations have decided to seize assets from another country and use them to rebuild after war?
Well, I suppose the most recent example to look at is what happened in Afghanistan after the Taliban took control of Kabul and the whole country. The United States froze the assets of the Afghan Central Bank that were held in the US. Again, kind of not the same, but a kind of similar mechanism. And obviously, those assets are now being repurposed, having been frozen, are being repurposed for the Afghan people. Now, of course, that's for the Afghan people, their Afghan assets, so that would make perfect sense. The fact that the Russians were so shocked that their central bank assets were frozen in the West suggests that it probably wasn't something that they had anticipated, because there isn't really a precedent for this. The United Nations is pretty good at coming up with ways of using existing treaties and laws to solve problems. So I suspect that is what the European Commission is calling for.
Is there a way that Russia could fight back? Because as you say, this is so unprecedented.
Russia certainly, I'm sure, would fight back. The other thing we need to be very careful about is to make sure that we don't become the authoritarians. We don't become the kind of dictators who don't care about legal rights and property rights. So that's why I think you're seeing smart lawyers trying to sort of shape shift existing legislation to find a way of legally confiscating assets from oligarchs and others and taking assets away from the Russian state, the Russian central bank.
Tom Keating, Director of the Center for Financial Crime and Security Studies. Thanks so much for your time.
Thanks for having me.
Checking the numbers now, European stock benchmarks are up as much as 0.6% at this hour. Hong Kong's Hang Seng, meanwhile, jumped 2%, while other regional benchmarks were little changed. Weighing on sentiment in Asia was fresh data that showed manufacturing and service sector activity in China slipped further into contraction this month. That's as the world's second biggest economy continues to grapple with the effects of a zero COVID strategy there. Unrest has continued overnight as protesters call for an end to strict measures. Guangzhou, a manufacturing hub in the southern part of the country, is the latest flashpoint, as the BBC's Stephen McDonnell reports.
A video posted on social media appears to show a white-clad riot team moving forward in formation, using shields at the front and above to protect them from the debris being thrown by residents. Throughout China, protests are being stamped out before they can start. A call on social media for a demonstration in the southern city of Shenzhen led to several underground train stations being temporarily closed to prevent people from gathering. Police are also using big data information to question those who've been at the sites of earlier protest gatherings in Shanghai and Beijing.
That's Stephen McDonnell there. With holiday travel in full swing, focus is now on how consumers are treated if flights are canceled or significantly changed. The Transportation Department in the U.S. has issued $8.1 million in civil penalties to airlines for extreme delays in providing refunds. And while American travelers eventually receive their payouts, in Australia there are no such guarantees. So consumer groups are pushing for more specific laws, as the BBC's Phil Mercer reports from Sydney.
Welcome on board.
Many Australians have been full of enthusiasm at the chance to travel again. But for some, that excitement has turned to frustration.
The start of the holiday was just a disaster.
Nicole Gibbs's family vacation from Sydney to Bali was ruined by delays. The school teacher says she's been left hundreds of dollars out of pocket.
The process in order to try and recover any kind of compensation or return on my expenses was a debacle.
In Australia, airlines decide whether customers are eligible for compensation or a refund. In other parts of the world, including the European Union and the United Kingdom, there are clear-cut regulations about what passengers are entitled to. Dr. Catherine Kemp is from the University of New South Wales.
If you have a cancellation that is due to the fault of the airline, you know that you can get a refund for that flight when you're involved in delays. In many cases, that's up to the airline's own terms.
Nice. Virgin Australia told the BBC it offers passengers who are delayed hotel, taxi and meal vouchers. Qantas says it significantly reduced delays and cancellations. The national carrier insists it goes beyond its obligations. Adam Gleeser runs a company called Consumer Champion. He says some passengers have lost significant amounts of money.
There is certainly no obligation on the airline's behalf to give any level of compensation. Even if it's a six-hour delay, for example, customers will be lucky to get a Vegemite sandwich off it.
Disruptions to flights can be unavoidable because of the weather, but when an airline's at fault, many Australians who save hard to travel overseas as cost of living pressures increase want the same rights to compensation as other countries. In Sydney, I'm the BBC's Phil Mercer for Marketplace.
And in London, I'm Victoria Craig with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.